This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Roshan Gunnison and welcome to Open for Business. Would you bring your own containers to buy things like detergent, spice, rice and other household items? Well, that's certainly something that the zero waste stores in the Klang Valley are banking on. One of these businesses is New, the Zero Waste Store, which started around 5 years ago with a mission to reduce waste to zero by offering household products with minimal packaging and absolutely no plastic. However, the store is now closed until further notice, begging the question, while a zero waste business may be sustainable for the earth, is it enough to sustain the bottom line? In conjunction with the International Day of Zero Waste, which is today, we dive into this with Cheryl Ann Lowe and Abhishek Bhattacharjee, co-founders of Ikigai Enterprise, the company behind Nude, the zero waste store. Cheryl, Abhishek, welcome to the show. How are you both doing this morning?
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for having us.
Eventful 2 weeks?
yeah, very. It's too much.
So before we get into the closure, which we will in a few minutes, I do want to take a step back and go to the start, right? So in the about page of your website, it stated that Ikigai was designed to test a key hypothesis. And I'm going to quote from here. Businesses don't necessarily need to be profit-driven only. It needs to hold the power to shape societies and chart the course of human progress. Only then does it count. Only business for good builds legacies, legacies that take generations forward. Talk to us about what this means and why this led to starting a zero waste store in particular.
Well, you see, when we look at business particularly, we often fall into the trap of being profit driven, right? That is the sole metric of how a business is rated in terms of its success or failure. Getting into zero waste business, the motivations were different. The motivations were about the purpose of behind it. So inspiration, education, and involvement of a larger community was much more of a priority for us than doing commercial success at the best. So we mean it when we say that you need to have businesses which sow the seeds of goodness so that it carries on for a legacy and builds a legacy and takes generations forward. Otherwise, money, I think, can be made through multiple ways. Can we make money and do good to the society at the same time? That's why we felt we should do the zero waste business. I think we have been zero waste practitioners. Cheryl started off many years before we actually went into Nude.
Yeah, many years before Nude actually was an idea. I started going plastic free first and then, you know, eventually transitioning to zero waste, which to a lot of people might be the same. It's similar, but I think zero waste is another step up because you're looking into more things than just plastic omission, you know, the different types of plastics that are out there. Zero waste also means like, you know, don't waste water, don't waste electricity, you know, and you practice all these things in your daily life to kind of reduce your consumption so that the burden on the earth is not so tough.
Yeah, and I think ultimately it's about reducing consumption as well, right? Because, you know, it's a lot of chatter around, oh, EV is good for environment and this is good for the environment. But reducing carbon isn't the only way. And things Correct. Like batteries for EVs take a lot of mining and Correct. Are we really paying attention to what is it? So Correct. Reducing your consumption is one of the really good ways to kind of be more helpful to the environment. Yeah. So I think for the purposes of this conversation, I think we were talking about this before. Cheryl, you focus more, you're a bit of the heart and soul of the business and you run the operations. Abhishek, you help with the business side of things. So I will be directing the questions like that.
Sure.
Now, the hypothesis there was that, okay, business for good. It's been 5 years now. Has that hypothesis been proven or was it maybe a little idealistic at the point?
It has been proven well and beyond, actually. I'll tell you why. First things first, the clarity needs to be there that while Nude is closing until further notice, the business hasn't suffered. It's just that the bandwidth of the founders and the people have gotten a little shrunk over time. So that's why it is. So the business-wise, it's still there. Now, does the hypothesis prove to be successful? Yes. It is quite anecdotal to say that when we started off, and I think you'll see it on the website as well, written out that we are here to facilitate a billion small first steps towards zero waste. Now, there is always this conception when it comes to zero waste and this kind of a zone is that it's a very elitist, it's a very far away thing. Not everyone can do it. It's probably expensive. It's probably something that is good to listen to, but I can't do it. So we wanted to challenge that, really. And we wanted to really, really get Newt to get zero waste mainstream. And in that, I believe we have been fairly successful. I'll get Cheryl to share a few stories. I mean, we have customers who have become friends. There are people who have not tried zero waste before and are now swearing by zero waste. Mm-hmm. So that is a success. So if we really track the success of the business and the hypothesis, the fact that we set out to change people's behavior in a certain manner has happened.
Yeah, full disclosure. I am a customer, and it was always a very therapeutic experience to go to the stores, especially after a stressful week. The ambience, the setting, the mood was very good. So it's great to hear that you believe that. I think one way to test whether the hypothesis works is whether the business was profitable, was it?
Yes, it was.
And we'll get into that in a little bit more detail later, because now the real question here, then the follow-up with that is, and that's the elephant in the room. 2 weeks ago, March 18th, Newt put out on its social media that it was closed until further notice. So you've kind of alluded to the fact that maybe it was a bit of burnout here, because you've already said that the business is profitable. What will it take then for the doors to reopen?
Well, I think things got a little bit overwhelming mm-hmm. at some point. We are not sure whether we will be reopening Newt, the zero waste store, at this point, but we are talking to potential people who will potentially take over the shop. Mm. You know, the whole physical shop. That means everything remains as it is. It's still going to be zero waste, but under a different name, which is fabulous to us because, you know, it can continue the zero waste practice. I think there are two zero waste stores in Petaling Jaya, and, you know, I think ours is in a very nice location. People like it, you know. So, yeah, it's good that, you know, there are customers who want to take over the physical shop.
So just a few things to follow up on that. So it looks like the rebirth of Newt Zero Waste, mm. when the doors reopen, will not be under the banner of Newt?
No. The physical store as we know it, and will not. But Newt as a philosophy, as a business, rather, yeah. we will probably come back in some other form in the zero waste space, in the business for good space. Yeah. But what that may be, we actually don't know at this point.
Interesting. So there is, of course, the Ikigai Enterprises, which is the company right. behind it. So mm. you guys could go in a different direction.
Yeah.
Something that maybe, so a different direction, because there are other ways to do business for good. The Newt Zero Waste store, the store itself, goes into a different direction. A takeover is in the works by another party. Mm. I think you said customers of the business?
Customers, yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, because they're regular customers. They come almost every week, sometimes twice a week. Like you said, I mean, we strive to make Newt a very comfortable a visit. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're already doing good. You know, you step into the store, you feel good, you feel nice. You know, you refill your items. There's no single-use disposable plastic.
You go home happy. As well.
Yeah, it's therapeutic because it's self-serve, right? So you get to weigh, you get to play with the scales, you know, the texture, the feel, the smell and everything. It's very experiential. So yes, they are customers and they felt really, really sad that Newt was closing, you know, so they reached out to us. And yeah, so it's an ongoing process. We're currently still talking. But yeah, hopefully, you know, they'll take it over.
Cheryl, a big part of this, of course, is the entrepreneur burnout, which is not an unknown quantum. It's something that has happened to many businesses before. The entrepreneurship journey is a very tough one. It's nonstop, really. Now, it's no secret that entrepreneurship and businesses have had a tough time over the last few years, whether it's lockdowns, broken supply chains, talent shortages, or even all the rising cost of goods. All this has made it a little bit more taxing, to say the least. So maybe it's a little bit of like a warning, or not warning, advice to the new potential owners of the business, of the store. Mm-hmm. What were the challenges that, you know, led to that that burnout that you felt?
I think it was the overwhelm of just thinking and trying to come up with solutions, everything, you know, everywhere.
So was it like talent issues and supply chain?
It was a combination of talent as well as I mean, me in my personal life, which was getting really overwhelming. Mm. So when you combine those two, it was really a recipe for disaster. And it came to a point where, you know, it was just sleepless nights. I'm not getting the rest that I needed. And it was just continuous. Because when you own a shop, you always need to continuously update yourself on what's happening out there. I continuously look for new products, you know, to offer to the customers. Because, you know, after a while, certain things stop moving. What are you going to replace it with? How are you going to keep the place fresh? You know,
I'm getting anxiety just listening to you list all those different things.
Yeah.
Was there one thing in particular that was causing those sleepless nights? One thing in particular that was bothering you, whether it was the talent retention, the supply chain, or other things?
I think, well, not really some one particular thing. It's a combination of, you know, many, many things, which is just everything all at once.
Everything everywhere all at once.
Everything everywhere, yeah.
Before we go into a few messages then, there are plans to keep the business going, different name. Will the store remain as it is today, or in the talks that you've had, are there going to be changes to the concept of Net Zero Waste in whatever new shape and form it takes?
Well, I would. It's a little too early to say what form it'll take, but I do believe that it will still remain in the zero waste space. Whether the design changes or the operations changes, that's totally up to how the new owners look at doing it. And there's no right or wrong way about it. So it's still very early stages. So, yeah.
All right, we're going to go into a few messages, and after that, we come back. We're going to be talking about, yes, it seems that zero waste can be good for the bottom line. We'll dive into how and what the numbers behind that. I'm Roshan Kanesan. You're listening to Open for Business. Taking you right now, we're going into Huey Lewis and the News, a very apt song, Working for a Living, here on BFM 89.9.
Benchmark for Managers, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kanesan, and this morning I've been speaking with Cheryl Ann Lowe and Abhishek Bhattacharjee, co-founders of Ikigai Enterprise, the company behind Nude, the Zero Waste Store, or at least for now. So, Abhishek, Cheryl, we were talking about the reason for the closure earlier, and the bottom line is it came down to an entrepreneurship burnout, and you're looking now to basically hand the baton over to another set of owners. So maybe let's get a sense for how the business was doing, because Abhishek, you mentioned earlier that it was profitable. I want to get a sense for what how profitable. So the first thing is, the store has been around for around 5 years now, started in 2018. Yeah. Give us a sense of the revenue growth since starting.
When I mean profitable, I need to define that a bit for you. So when in normal business terms you say profitable, you see profits keep on growing and you have different techniques to apply to make sure that there is greater revenue and so on. But in a zero waste business, that there is a dilemma, because we have the means to raise the revenue every month, right? So for example, there are tips and tricks. For example, you have sales, you have this and that, so people come and buy more. But then it goes against your principle of zero waste, because zero waste and what we stood for really was buy as much as you need and as often as you need. So then you really cannot go so accelerated on the profit driving mechanisms that a normal business would be.
So it's not about upselling the current customers.
It's not about upselling
market acquisition.
Correct. It's about, if you really look at it from that lens, it's about getting more and more people interested and more people into the fold. So increasing the size of the pie in terms of customers is what is the driver, rather than per a customer bucket size, because that should not change if you are staying true to your philosophy. Right.
So what about, so let's then switch the conversation with the customer numbers then. Have you, what kind of growth have you seen over the last few years?
Oh, absolutely. When we started off, I mean, to your earlier question, in terms of profitability, we broke even the first time around within 2 months. And since then, it has been a profitably sustainable business, which means there hasn't been any cash flow issues or any cash injections post that. So it has sustained itself on its own. In terms of the customer growth, I think we have grown steadily, at least over the past 4 years, I would say an annual growth rate of 20 to 30% year on year.
Which is pretty good considering the fact that you're not actively trying to increase the ticket size of the customers there. But is there a more sustainable way, I guess, of increasing the ticket size, like by introducing products that people actually need,
Absolutely.
Right? Because you want to be, if I remember correctly, Absolutely. I think you told Vulcan Post that you want to be a one-stop shop.
Yes. Absolutely. You see, the scale conundrum in zero waste is about expanding the footprint of the portfolio that you can get within Zero Waste. Mm-hmm. Now, that's easier said than done, because I'll give you an example. When you truly follow the Zero Waste principles throughout business, it's not just outward focusing. It's also into the supply chain. It's also into mm-hmm. your operations at the store and so on. So, for example, if we source a particular product, we have to do five times more the work, because somebody will be supplying it in smaller packets, which may be bad for the carbon emissions and the frequency. We don't want that. We want to get to a bigger packets. So, et cetera, et cetera. So the idea is to expand your footprint across as many products in your lifestyle as you can, have a footprint of physical stores available to as many people as you can, and the pricing as competitive as you can. So if you can crack this model, there is a huge opportunity. There isn't a single zero waste retail chain, if you like, globally as we speak. There are bits and pieces coming up everywhere, but that opportunity lies there. It hasn't happened because there are certain challenges. But I'm pretty sure if we all put our minds together and our heads together to it, there will be solutions to that.
Is the zero waste concept a business, the stores, are they scalable, considering that there are a lot of logistics? I can from a sense, is scalability down to increasing your store footprint, the one store, and then have it as like a Tesco kind of situation where multiple people are coming in, because then that's easier for you logistically? Or is it about like the 99 speed mark kind of way and building up more stores?
Maybe it's neither and both. I'll tell you why. Because the scalability, the term is a trap, because there is a certain way we think about it. Now, with technology, the scalability issue can be addressed in different ways. The idea is, if we stay true to the fact that we want to get the products or the usage to zero waste to the customer in the most zero waste possible route, it does not necessarily need to be a physical store all the way. There is possible uses of technology that we could use to drive there. There are possible uses of, let's say, cooperatives or collective that can be formed to be able to drive that. But scalability needs to be seen in a different manner than what a normal business is looked at. Not many stores, or rather just scaling the number of stores or scaling the number of customers is not enough. But there are challenges in terms of packaging. You can't really do an online business because it comes in plastic packaging, so it goes against your principle. Are there alternatives coming up? Yes. So as technology grows, as we are getting into electric vehicles, as the world battles this problem collectively, there will be solutions put on the table which allow us to scale zero waste businesses globally, I'm pretty sure.
So I'm pretty sure this is going to come down to the margins of the business. What are the margins like?
I would say healthy. The margins have been typically in the range of 25 to 30%.
All right, which is a lot more than the typical margins that you would expect from grocery stores, the larger chain ones, which usually apply on volume there. This has come down to a premium that you're able to charge for the products that you have.
The premium that is charged is because of the value that it brings as a zero waste product. So responsible sourcing as much as possible is what adds to that premium. So when you get down to responsible sourcing, it adds to the cost.
So customers are paying for that filtration process.
Customers are paying to be zero waste, but not paying prohibitively.
And earlier you talked about the store breaking even. What was the payback period for the store?
It was 2 months, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So there is a scalable element to that as well. Cheryl, a big part of operating zero waste stores is the fact that, you know, you've got many suppliers, you're putting all these, you know, your Gramps floor wash and the almonds you get from, I think it was Brazil or something. Yeah. You have to buy them in bulk and then manually kind of keep track, monitor, stock them up, yeah. Which operationally can be challenging. Was that one of the things that maybe was a burden to you?
I would say it contributed and added to it, yes. Also because we were facing staffing issues, so we had a new manager in, so the transition period and all of that. So yes, you're absolutely right in terms of stocking. Every item moves at a different pace. Mm-hmm. So it's not as simple as picking up the phone and ordering something and everything just comes. There's also things like MOQ that we consider, carbon footprint that we consider. The sourcing had already earlier been done. It comes in like paper packaging. And yes, where bulk is concerned, we need to consistently monitor the consumer trends to see, you know, what goes below level and what needs to be restocked and stuff like that. And when you multiply that with the different suppliers in the shop, yes, it got a little bit, you know, overwhelming.
Do you source most of your stuff locally, or are there things that you just have to get overseas? Like almonds?
We all work with local suppliers and wholesalers. Yeah. So they do the importing and we purchase from them.
So like your detergents, I think, and other soaps come from Kita Refill. Yeah. You've also got stuff from Gramps.
We have Gramps, yes.
Your peanut butter, which I enjoy, comes from Amy's.
Amy, yes.
How did you develop these relationships, right? Because they also have their own other distribution methods. Mm-hmm. How did you get the buy-in for them to, you know, supply you instead of going through their own distribution mechanisms?
Oh, I think, it all started very organically because I was practicing zero waste before, right? So we would meet each other at, you know, bazaars and, you know, stuff like that, on-ground markets and all. And also because we had very good encouragement and support from local organisations like Zero Waste Malaysia, Tak Nak Straw. So, you know, when we flashed the idea of opening a zero waste store 4 years ago, they really helped us in hooking us up, linking us to all these different suppliers, and we then explored with them individually, you know, what can be done, how can we work it out, you know, in terms of delivery, in terms of, you know, swappable containers, returnable containers, refillable, you know, we have our pet food, which comes, pet treats, which comes directly from her, and she comes and refills our display, and she takes back her storage containers, you know, or her transportation containers. So that comes directly filled. But yeah, some of the other items we had to actually do research, cold call. We would go into supermarkets or grocery stores, go and look at the label and find the, you know, need the number, and we start talking to them, you know, about our plans.
Did you have to talk to these different distributors to get them to buy into the fact that I need you to sell me this quantity without plastic packaging?
Yeah, and it was particularly challenging because we're not big, so we didn't have the volume to offer them. But we told them that we're environmentally friendly and this is what we would like to do. You know, we're gonna, you know, give you the containers, you just help to fill us up.
So you sold them on the story
like
instead.
Yeah. And well, 80%, 90% bought it. They're like, you know, yes, great, you know, we're on board. Let me speak to, you know, my manager, my supervisor, you know, and they got it done. And for those who said, no lah, not possible, you know. So we just moved on from that. You know, if you can't, then that's okay.
Cheryl, Abhishek, we got a lot more to talk about. Are zero waste stores more expensive? Are consumers going back to convenience over sustainability now that working from home is no longer the norm? We'll dive into all that and more after the 10:30 a.m. news bulletin. I'm Roshan Kanisan, keep your head open for business on BFM 89.9.
Bribe-free Malaysia? BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to Open for Business. I'm Roshan Kanisan, and this morning I'm speaking with Cheryl Ann Lowe and Abhishek Bhattacharjee, co-founders of Ikigai Enterprise, the company behind Nude, the Zero Waste Store, which has recently announced that it's closed until further notice. Earlier we talked about the reasons why and the good news that Nude will return, but in a different form with different owners. Cheryl, Abhishek, I want to take maybe a bit more perspective or get a bit more context over the business itself. While you will not be operating that going forward, I want to spend the next few minutes talking about how was the competitive landscape and the lessons learned from this and what could be next for Ikigai. So the perception that buying from zero waste stores can be more expensive is something that is out there. So I decided to do a bit of a random sampling, and here's what I found. So at Nude, based on your product listing online, you can get dishwashing liquid and peanut butter at lower prices for comparable products than that at Jaya Grocer. But the reverse when it comes to things like scented laundry liquid and raw almonds. So mixed bag there. But in the larger scheme of things, because earlier we were talking about, you know, there's a target demographic, there's also a premium that comes with the business that you were doing. In the larger scheme of things, what is Nude, the Zero Waste Store's market positioning?
It's quite simple, actually. It was basically to take zero waste mainstream. Till the point we started Nude, there were zero waste stores, a few of them, and it tended to be mixed up with organic stores. So people had this perception that zero waste must be organic. Well, that may not be the case all the time. And it it does not need to be prohibitive in terms of costs, which we felt was necessary for us to increase the adoption of the number of people taking up this lifestyle. So Zero Waste Mainstream is what Nude stood for, which is why you see a whole variety of products which are everyday lifestyle products and at comparable prices, if not cheaper, than your supermarkets. So the only thing that the customer really needs to make is a little bit of effort, but not pay extra to go zero waste.
And I will touch on that in a little bit. But first, whether shopping at zero waste stores is cheaper or more expensive seems to be a bit of a mixed bag, as I mentioned earlier. But Abhishek, it is more time consuming and less convenient. Now that work from home is no longer the norm and many people are back to their offices, have you seen a drop off in customer numbers? And here I have to put out my hand and say I'm partially guilty here. I used to be there every week, but since work has come into the fray, time has become more precious.
Weekends. Our weekends get really, really busy. I think a lot of people enjoy their trips to Nude. They enjoy the fact that they're going to come to a very warm and welcoming place and they get to do good and choose to self-serve, you know. And that is a very fun experience for everyone. I mean, we've had we have families who come in, and we especially like parents teaching their children about, mm-hmm. you know, zero waste and why they have to come to the store and bring their own containers. And, you know, it's nice to see the interaction between, you know, the father, son, you know, mother, daughter and stuff like that. And it's really cute because the kids will ask all kinds of questions, right? Like, you know, the supermarket, we just take it off the shelves and then you can hear, like, you know, parents explaining it to them and then we'll try to jump in and we'll make it fun for the children as well. And then we also have couples. When the couples come in, it's the cutest. The husbands enjoy shopping more than the wife. They'll be like, come, darling, let me help you. What would you like? You know, yeah, you want this? And because it's self-serve, so they have fun, right? So it kind of changes the perspective of shopping, you know, with your other half to become a bit more involved and more inclusive. And it just becomes a very fun outing. So the weekdays are generally quieter. We get the retirees and, you know, those who work nearby will pop by, but weekends usually are usually once MCO was lifted and we reopened, the weekends started buzzing more than the weekdays compared to previously where it was a pretty evened out, you know, over the weekdays and the weekends. It's just that everyone came more on the weekends.
So overall, from a top line perspective, then did you see on aggregate, were the customers that are coming on the weekend able to offset any potential drop off from the weekdays?
Yes, of course, it balances out for the overall revenues for the month. Now, in fact, in the weekends, the other habit that we have seen, which has been formed over time, is that regular customers, they plan their trips to Nude. So they would typically come once or twice a month at best and come with a whole list of things which they will consume for the rest of the month. So their average ticket size hence goes up over the weekend significantly because we have a lot of these people who are once in a month shoppers buying for the entire month's stocks. Mm. So that's why it balances out.
Mm. Now, I want to spend a few minutes talking about the lessons learned from this, because there are a lot of things I think that can be taken by entrepreneurs, by aspiring entrepreneurs as well. Whatever Ikigai does after this and whenever, however, a Nude opens in its new form, what are the lessons to be learned from your journey and this recent closure that would be helpful for other aspiring entrepreneurs or current entrepreneurs to hear, Cheryl?
Well, I would say don't underestimate the intensity of things that may come your way. Always be prepared for the unforeseen, and always have good support with you, you know.
What was it in particular that you may have underestimated?
Oh, the intensity of... I went through a superwoman phase for a while where, yes, I can do it all, you know. I'll wake up, I eat, breathe, live, sleep, Nude, you know. Like, oh, I have to get in touch with this stockist. I need to talk to this about that. And then, oh, we're going to explore this with this. And I was doing all these things by myself. And you wake up one day and you're, like, completely drained. And that's when the superwoman phase kind of died and reality set in, like, okay, maybe I can't do it. And then you go through this whole emotional and mental thing where you kind of disappoint yourself and let yourself down because you thought you could do it and I couldn't. you know? So then there's a whole perspective of things that you need to look at to kind of prepare yourself, pace yourself for stuff. Always do research, always get to know what you're... prepare yourself as much as you can. Research helps. Talk to people in the industry. Don't just look within the Malaysian landscape, but also look outside and try to apply lessons learned from other people, for example. And just, yeah, try to inject as much fun as you can in everything. It's important. Fun is very important. Humor is very important.
Yeah, I think it's also... it's important to consider environmental sustainability, bottom line sustainability, but also our own sustainability, our able to sustain effort over a long term. Entrepreneurs are people too. Abhishek, anything you want to add to that?
I think the only a great lesson that I have seen us learn, and particularly Cheryl, is because is to stay true to the goalpost, right? The reason why you're doing the business, really. The whole idea that she wanted to do this because to do good, came through her language, her behavior, and the community stood behind it because it showed. And even now, we are not very, we are a little disheartened, but we are not absolutely sad that Nude has gone into a death cycle, really. It's getting a different form with somebody else, hopefully. And that is only possible if people see the value in what you've been doing as a business. So we look at the goalpost being value beyond just the money part of it. So I think that has really, really helped us steer the...
Yeah, but throughout this journey, I have to say, I mean, people are amazing. I mean, we've had so much support from, you know, local organizations like Zero Waste Malaysia, the ladies at Tatnut Straw, the community, people who would just randomly walk in and we have conversations. And the support has been fabulous, you know, and they've been so kind and understanding. I mean, to me, Zero Waste is about kindness. You're being kind to the environment, you're being kind to the animals, you know. So in essence, Zero Waste is kindness, and everyone's kind to everyone. And it's just amazing, the human interactions on a daily basis is very heartwarming, and I'm just so, so touched and appreciative. And it's just been a really amazing journey. I'm really going to miss all the social interactions I've had with customers. I mean, we've solved a lot of issues because, you know, spoken to customers and, you know, they've had, you know, issues with their hands and stuff like that. So, you know, we talk about it and, you know, we solved a lot of issues. And that's the thing, right? Stay true to the cause, never lose sight of the objective, you know. What is very important is, I think, when you're genuine about something, people can feel it and they can sense it and they can see it, you know. So,
yeah. Let's spend a few minutes talking about what's next for Ikigai, because doing good business for a purpose doesn't live and die by just zero waste. Have you guys talked about what's next for Ikigai Enterprises?
We're still mourning the.
I know, it's a bit soon.
Look, there is one thing that we have been absolutely clear about since day one is that the zero waste space, as an opportunity area, both commercially and philosophically and humanly, is phenomenal in the next few years. We definitely hope to do something of a venture within this down the road. As we mentioned earlier, we don't know whether it's going to be a store, whether it's going to be something else, whether it's going to be tech, we don't know. But the possibilities are endless. And one thing is certain, that Nude and Ikigai will be back in some form, in some way, doing good. What that business will be,
for the brand, the brand Nude will be with you?
Yeah, it stays with us. We are very
very close to our heart.
All right. Cheryl, any parting thoughts before we close up? I will take that as a no. Cheryl, Abhishek, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
I've been speaking with Cheryl Ann Low and Abhishek Bhattacharjee, co-founders of Ikigai Enterprises, the company behind the new zero waste stores. Up next, the 11 a.m. news bulletin and then Tech Talk. I'm Roshan Gunnison. This has been Open for Business. Keep it here to BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.